And if the real Greg don't do the trick, bow, 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 you better Greg up something quick. Try to understand. He's a Greg Show man.
From a desk in the Yay Network studios, where an actual radio show happens. It's the Greg and Greg Show with Greg. And of course, Greg. Take it away, Gregs.
What's up? It's the Greg and Greg Show. I'm Greg Jake.
I'm the band Heart.
That was the first album I ever purchased. It was actually a cassette. It wasn't an album. It was a cassette.
Funny story. Since we're interviewing Dovetail on Friday,
yep.
One of the questions that my friend Jesus always brings up to people that he first meets is, what's the first album that you personally went out and bought with your own money? Mine was Papa Roach, Between Angels and Insects.
Was that the first album with Cut My Life Into Pieces?
This is my last resort. Suffocation, man. No breathing.
Don't give a if my arm bleeding. I love Papa Roach.
That was a really good album. I don't care what anybody says. That was a good album.
Papa Roach was smart. They jumped into the game in the heyday of like the rap rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that album consisted of. But they had a few gems on there.
That song Blood Brothers, that was a great song.
Yeah, they had a few songs on there that weren't total like rap rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started to see the rap rock thing kind of fizzle out a little bit. And the next thing you know, Papa Roach is coming out with a new album. And I'm like, huh. And it wasn't a huge success, but it pretty much eliminated all of the rap rock stuff. And then their third album that had
Tear My Heart Open.
No.
Sew Myself Shut.
No, it was a lot harder than that. It was the one about
because they turned a complete 180. Now they don't even do hard stuff anymore.
Yeah, well, their third album had a song that was huge, and it was just like a straight-up, like, in-your-face, metal-esque type rock song. And it really launched them back into the forefront of, you know, mainstream rock, and they went on to do great things. But anyway, that was a good album. My first album was definitely the Heart album.
Nice.
It was probably in 1987-ish,
mm-hmm.
86, 87, maybe 88.
So when I was born,
yeah,
you went to the store. You went to the local Five and Dime,
mm-hmm.
or Sam Goody, or I'm trying to think of other record stores. A lot of them have gone, like all of them have gone out of business.
There's Blockbuster Music.
Blockbuster Music was around then?
Yeah.
Really?
That's where I got everything, was at Blockbuster Music. There was, let's see, you said Sam Goody.
Mm-hmm. Tower Records.
Tower Records. There was Virgin Records.
Virgin Records. First thing, did Heart do Magic Man or am I wrong?
No, they did it. Bad Animals, I think, was that the name of
Heart
it?
Heart also did Barracuda, right?
Yes. 1985. Maybe that's when it was. This is the one I had. I went and I purchased the self-titled
album. Heart. With your own cash money.
What about love?
I know that song. I think it's a very interesting question to ask people, what's the first album they bought with their own money? Jen?
Yeah?
What's the first album you ever bought with your
hard-earned cash money?
Hard-earned cash.
Soundtrack to Grease from Jen. Claudia, what is the first album you ever went out and purchased with your own monies?
Clueless.
The Clueless soundtrack for Claudia.
As if.
Whatever. Now Iggy Azalea does the video where mm-hmm. she's dressed up like Clueless. It's so dead on, too.
I think she missed the mark there, though. I think she could have.
You are an idiot. She could have done something new and original, and instead she did a Clueless video.
Actually,
that was already a movie.
Iggy Azalea is new and original because.
Who dat?
As I've expressed around here,
IGGY.
I think that she has a sound similar to Da Brat, who was big back in the early 2000s.
But would anybody know, A, what Da Brat sounds like anymore? Da Brat was a midliner at tops.
Look, I'm just saying, that's who she sounds like.
Who dat?
So,
you know, she could have sounded new and original. Instead, she sounds like Da Brat.
Well, here's what makes her original.
What?
She sounds like Da Brat, sort of. But she's a white chick from Australia. That's mind-blowing.
Oh, do yourself a favor and Google Rita Ora and Iggy Azalea, and then tell me that the two of them together do not look like the Wayans brothers from the movie White Chicks.
How do you spell it?
That got laughs all over. They look exactly like the Wayans brothers from the movie White Chicks.
That is hilarious. What are these two doing together? Look how skinny Iggy
Azalea
is.
Being so fancy. Her butt, though, is huge.
Is it?
Iggy Azalea's butt? It's enormous.
Do I need to Google that?
Yeah. Please. I want to see it.
I heard she was a real B-I-T-C-H.
I've heard that as well.
Dang.
Look at all that.
Dang.
Look at all that. Look at all that butt.
I mean, that, there ain't no stopping that thing.
Yeah.
She's Louise, man.
She's got, quote, ass for days.
That is, that's intense.
Yeah.
And definitely not my first album to buy.
No. Jen just snooped over looking for butt.
I already closed it out.
She's gone.
I don't like having butt images up where I sit, you know, because it's really, I sit in this really bizarre area of the office. It's wide open.
You don't like to butt where you eat?
Yeah. It's wide open. I don't have any walls except for the one that separates Jen and myself. Mm-hmm. And people can just walk up, and you never know who's walking up behind me.
Yeah.
And I don't want some random person who's coming in for a business meeting to walk up and I have Iggy Azalea butts all over my screen, because they'll be like, what the hell kind of workplace is this?
And they'll be like, looks like a fun one.
Yeah.
Let's invest all of our money in this place.
Well,
look at that butt.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that happens, because that would be great.
To quote Big Al Mack, big, white, juicy butt.
Uh-huh. So, man, I had something that I was going to talk to you about before we got into this whole nonsense.
Well, I think it's great that you brought up this album thing, which is something I want to ask pretty much all the artists that mm-hmm. come in. I want to be like, hey, so what was the first album you bought as a human person with monies of your own?
You know what the second one I bought was?
What?
So we figured out Heart, self-titled album. Heart mm-hmm. was the first one in 1985.
Yeah.
Second one, 1987, License to Ill, Beastie Boys.
That is a great album.
And you know what's weird about that? My mom obviously had to take me to the store to buy it because mm-hmm. I couldn't drive. So we go into the store. I've got my $14 or whatever.
Whatever it was.
It might have been way less than that back mm-hmm. then. And I'm scouring the wall of mm-hmm. all the new releases. And I can't find it anywhere. So I mosey up to the counter, say, hey, do you guys have the License to Ill album from the Beastie Boys? And the guy said, yeah, we do, actually. We have them all behind the desk here. And I was like, why don't you have them on the wall? The album was considered so cutting edge and edgy that you had to go ask for it.
Did he then ask you, what's the time? And then did you respond, it's time to get ill.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I did. And I put my gold chain on and I turned my hat sideways.
The Volkswagen logo on your chest.
Yeah. So you had to fight for your right to get that album.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I think the second album I physically bought, what I'm remembering is I bought the Rage Against the Machine album. Mm. And my mom looked at the track listing, and one of the albums was the cover of the Cypress Hill song, How I Could Just Kill a Man.
Yeah.
And she went, How I Could Just Kill a Man. And I went, yeah, it's good. I like it. It's a good album.
It is a good album.
That was the Rage.
Did she let you get it? I mean, did she buy it?
Oh, she let me get it. I bought it with my money.
Okay.
But I was kind of like, but I want it.
Yeah, come on, Mom.
It's cool. Because I had been, like, my dad would get albums. He worked in vending, which means he had to put jukeboxes mm-hmm. together. And he had to stock jukeboxes. So I'd just be like, give him a list of albums I wanted. And then I'd get them. Would they have the album, like the box, the case that it came in? Mm-hmm. No. Would it be the album I wanted? Yes.
So you're
could it have been stolen? Maybe.
You're at home with like manila paper stapling the side that you could have a record cover?
Well, I didn't do that. I just had like a record book. I had a CD book that was just filled with CDs, because I'd just be like, hey, Dad, here's the CDs I want. And he could get them for like, Like, where you'd pay $20 for it, he'd get it for like $4 because he's getting it through the distributor because he needs to get like 100 records or whatever per month to fill his jukeboxes. So I'd get just CDs. Just to, he'd give me CDs. Hey, I got you the CDs, Greg.
They're all scratched
Thanks,
up.
Thanks, Dad.
Crappy.
Just put a little toothpaste on it and it cleans it right up. That's an industry secret, Greg.
Your dad, what a winner.
Oh, he's a nutcase.
I used to listen to the first NWA album.
Straight out of Compton?
Straight out of Compton. So I would get home.
From a group called Neighbors with Attitudes.
I'd get home before my parents. And so I had the cool kick-ass stereo in my room.
I had a cool stereo.
And of course, this was a tape. So I'd get
six
get
CD
home,
changer.
Get home, I'd drop my tape in, and I'd turn that thing up, and it had like extra, like you could
the turbo
boost.
Bass.
Yeah, the turbo bass.
It had the
so
turbo
you could push
bass.
The turbo bass button, and I'd put my NWA album on, and I would rock this thing. But then I'd hear the back door open,
and you'd turn it off,
and I'd run, and I'd turn it off, and I'd put the Cars. Remember the Cars, the band The Cars, and I'd put that cassette in, and put that on, and turn it way down low. So my mom would come in, and she'd be like, hey, what are you doing?
Would I'm you
like,
be playing, nothing. Like, Moving in stereo?
Mm-hmm.
As you're imagining that girl getting out of the pool and taking her top off?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'd do. Actually, no. I wouldn't do that at all.
No.
But I would put the Cars album in.
Yeah.
Or I would
shake it up.
Turn NWA off and turn Zelda on. Like, hey, I'm just playing Zelda.
It's not, dangerous to go alone.
Not really doing anything.
Just play Grand Theft Auto. I remember as a kid when before like EB was really big or the EB Games.
Yeah.
Before they were everywhere, and before like video game people really knew how many they had to put in stores to sell them, you'd have to reserve your game and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you wouldn't get a game for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's kind of like they ask you to reserve a game, but it's almost like a joke because you'll have enough. I could go there day of release day. Not like back in the day where you reserve one and wait like weeks for it.
Right.
So I reserved Grand Theft Auto 3, and I was there. I'm like, Mom, drop me off at the mall because they let you go in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
I waited from like midnight, or not even midnight. I waited from 10 p.m. to midnight to get GTA 3, came home, played it for the remainder of, like, as soon as they opened the store, people just rushed in and bought it and walked out. I played that till I went to school in the morning. I was a zombie at school, came home, played it some more, slept, and I think I missed the next day of school because I had played it so much.
You played till you were sick?
It got to the point where I could beat that game in like one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the game that much, like the back of my hand.
The one game, and we can end video game talk with this.
Mm-hmm.
This was when I was in college at Stephen
Stone F. Cold. Is Stone it Cold's Tekken? Are we doing a Tekken story?
No, this is not a Tekken story.
I don't want to hear any more Tekken stories.
This has nothing to do with Tekken. This was while I was actually enrolled at Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin State University.
Where you were majoring in stunnering.
It was the first semester.
Mm-hmm.
My roommate, Brandon Taylor, had a video game. And it was not played on your regular video game console. It wasn't a Nintendo game.
It was a PC game?
It was a PC game.
Duke Nukem.
No.
Doom.
No.
Castle Wolfenstein.
No.
Thief.
No.
SimCity.
No.
Can you give me a genre?
Fantasy. It's a first person game, but it's kind of a fantasy mythical game.
It's Myst.
Myst.
He had Myst. Myst, I had no idea what to do in any time I played it.
So Myst flunked me out of college.
Because you were trying to figure it out? Or
because I stayed home. I skipped class for like 5 days straight playing Myst. Brandon would go to school, and he would come back, and I would still be sitting there looking like a zombie, having taken down about 15 Dr. Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I've got sheets of paper strewn all over the place trying to figure out, you know, what does this code do? What does this little sound mean? It drove me nuts, and it flunked me out of college.
When you flunk out of Stone Cold University, does Steve Austin kick your door in and yell at you, pour beer on you, and then stunner you and then yell in your face?
He should have. It would have straightened me up. I would have quit playing Myst right then and there.
You're playing Myst for like the fifth day straight, and then you just hear psh, and he's just running in, and he's got his arms up, and then he just kicks you. You're like, oh, it's so cold. He kicks you in the gut and then stunners you right there. You're out of my school, fool.
And then pours a couple Coors Lights on your face and walks out.
He's smacking them up around your room and pouring them in his mouth but not drinking them and then spitting them on you.
Uh-huh. That would have straightened me up for sure.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the greatest. He was the best wrestler ever.
He was. He was so cutting edge.
He was awesome.
All right, got to wrap this thing up. Don't forget, Friday we'll have a band in. That band will be called Dovetail. And it'd be awesome.
It's going to be pretty awesome. We're all really looking forward to it, including everybody around here. They're all kind of like really excited about it.
The pressure's going to be on because people are going to be sitting there watching us actually
judging
the
pants off of us.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nick Adams is going to be going, I'm going to be doing better. And then Trey's going to not be here because he hates everything in life.
Yeah. And us.
And us.
Yeah.
So he won't be here. Mike said he might kick around.
Mm-hmm. Chickering's going to be manning the audio for it.
The Infinites are down.
Yeah. So it's going to be, it's a high-pressure first interview fun music gig. We better look good.
We're going to look good.
All right. Go check out the website, thegregandgregshow.com, and boo out.
Join us next time on The Greg and Greg Show. Things will probably be just as weird.